Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast from The Sober Club. I'm Genuinely Grace, and this is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. We'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there's inspiration from quit lit authors, experts, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome. It's Genuinely Grace with the podcast Alcohol Free Life. Lovely to be with you. It's been such a massively busy week and so much going on. I've been really lucky. I've had an amazing time, actually. I got to go to Yorkshire last weekend, which was wonderful. I'll tell you more about that trip at some point coming up towards Christmas. But that was really great. I got to stand outside the window display of a cafe that stocked BrewDog, and I'm sure you've all seen the advertising hoarding that BrewDog 0% have got out. Sober as a mother few, shall we say. I personally think it's a great advertising campaign. Of course, that's not the common view, and the Advertising Standards Authority apparently now onto them. But BrewDog, if you're listening, I think it looks great. So I got to stand outside there. Somebody might have seen that pic. You might have seen that pic on Instagram. And then I got to go on retreat for a few days. I'm super lucky. I got to go out to Inner Guidance, which is where we're going to be hosting our Sobriety Rocks retreat at the end of January. So that was really cool. By the way, the Champneys retreat is live. Must tell you that before I forget. We'll mention it again later. But if you are interested in coming on the Champneys retreat, it's called Self-Care in Sobriety, and it's January the 11th and 12th. You might have already looked at the website and thought, oh, that's too expensive. But they made a mistake with the room. So have another look if that's the case. There are standard rooms available. It's January the 11th to the 12th, so Saturday to Sunday. You can add an extra night on if you want to. And of course, you get to use all of Champneys facilities. It's at Tring in Hertfordshire. So it's their kind of flagship Champneys. It's absolutely beautiful there. Very luxurious, really lovely. But also, it's not kind of, you know, how some places feel so luxurious, but they don't feel very comfortable, and they don't have that sense of self-care and well-being. It just feels a bit bling. Well, it's not like that at all. The energy there is lovely. It's a former naturopathic hospital, and they've really done it nicely. There's fantastic yoga there, just obviously a lovely spa and aromatherapy room and all kinds of stuff. It really is a beautiful place. I absolutely love going there. Great food, beautiful grounds, so you can really treat yourself to a real pampering weekend. But we're going to pack in some great inspirational sessions as well. And this is perfect for you, whatever stage you're at. It really doesn't matter. It's completely non-judgmental, so you can bring whoever you want. If you're just vaguely sober curious or thinking you might do dry January, then this might just be the inspiration you need. But if you've been sober for years, then come and you know, listen up and enjoy and join in as to how you can scale up. It really is that, how do you create that best life for you without the booze. So January 11th and 12th. And if you look at the show notes, you can see the link. Or if you go to thesoberclub.com, there's a link there to book onto that retreat, January the 11th. Just back on the other place I was at, Inner Guidance in Suffolk. It was great because one of the things we did was have a cacao ceremony. Now, that might sound totally out there and woo-woo, but it was really amazing. And for anyone who is sometimes when you've ditched the booze, you start to become very conscious of the sugar you're ladling in. And of course, for a lot of us, that's chocolate. But when you really start to understand what real chocolate is, it kind of takes everything to another level. And so we actually had this great cacao ceremony where you're drinking real chocolate. So we saw the actual pod, the cacao spirit, if you like, that sits there, and then this huge pod which looks, I don't know, they're quite big if you've ever seen an actual pod, and then the little cacao beans, and then of course, when it's done properly, these particular chocolate is from Guatemala, and the chocolate beans are actually, the cacao beans are actually hand peeled, of course, with confectionery. That they aren't, you know, they'll just be done through a machine, and a lot of mold can be left in. But when you've got the real authentic stuff, the little cacao beans are peeled, the shells are kind of taken off by hand. So of course, it's very, very labour intensive. And Joe, who runs Inner Guidance, was explaining to us all the, you know, the origins and the fair trade aspects of this particular chocolate that they buy from a guy who calls himself the Chocolate Shaman, Keith, the Chocolate Shaman, in fact, if you want to look him up. So anyways, I just thought I'd share that with you. It was a great experience having a cacao ceremony. I have done it before, but not for a while. And that's something we're going to be doing on our retreat at Inner Guidance, by the way. And I thought I'd also bring you a podcast about it at some point. We'll talk about it because, I mean, who doesn't want to learn more about chocolate, right? Of course you do. The benefits of chocolate. This week on the podcast, my guest, we're kind of focusing for a bit on some of the issues around drinking and parenting. And my guest is Gail from Sober Bliss. And, you know, Gail's really aiming her work at mums or, you know, at parents. And this has been on my mind, actually, this week. I saw one of those, yet another one of those goddamn articles, you know, one of those alcohol is good for you kind of articles. And this one was particularly horrible, in my view, because the title was, I haven't actually got the actual title in front of me, but it was something like alcohol and coffee will help you, drinking alcohol and coffee will help you live longer or is good for you or something like that. But it was on a parent's website. The actual piece was on a parent's website. I just couldn't believe it. You know, it's incredible. And it's saying, you know, anybody sort of thinking about Thanksgiving or thinking about, you know, Christmas and dry January, you know, would be really interested to see this study. Apparently it's from the University of California that suggests that people who drank moderate amounts of alcohol or coffee live longer than those who abstained. And then one of the main researchers says, I have no explanation for it, but I do firmly believe that modest drinking improves longevity. What a statement. I mean, that is just incredible. I find it incredible now when I read things like that. They're saying those who drank only two glasses of wine or beer per day decreased chances of premature death by 18%. And they also talk about coffee decreasing chances of death. Now, you know, I am not a scientist. I haven't gone into the science of this. And I wish I had the wherewithal to do that or to have what I'm about to say backed up. But I absolutely know one thing for certain. You know, there has never actually been any scientific proof that it's the drinking that helps you live longer. It will be despite the drinking, these people are living longer. I just know, don't you, that if you were to look at the people in this study, there will be a group of people who have a lifestyle that incorporates all kinds of you know, aspects of living well. And they probably have a great community and they've probably got good genes to boot and they've probably got a good diet and they probably exercise and they're happy and everything else that we know leads to longevity, all things being equal. And they happen to be moderate drinkers, you know, and have the odd glass of wine. But that doesn't mean that it's because of the alcohol that they're living longer. It's despite the alcohol, which would be borne out by the fact that the second you increase it to two drinks a day, it means you die younger. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. We know now, it's been proven that there are no safe levels of drinking. Okay, that's the actual facts and the research. So all of this stuff is just absolutely got up for the eye. And the sad thing is that this is on a parent's website. And if I'd have been reading this, you know, just a few years ago, and particularly when my kids were really young and I was feeling so frazzled and my only way out felt like the treat of a glass of wine, I'd have lapped that study up and thought, well, there you go then. There you go. I'm doing something great for my health and longevity. And obviously after the first drink, by then I've completely lost the plot. I'm on to the third or the fourth, but my brain will conveniently forget that bit of the study. Anyways, I've had a rant about this before, haven't I? But it's timely and it's fitting that my guest is Gail, who does a lot of work around around parents. So I really hope you enjoy this this interview with Gail. She's been doing her thing as Sober Bliss for a long time, and you know, whether you're a parent or not, I hope you'll take something away from this piece. Here's Gail. Hi, Gail McDonald. How are you? So lovely to chat to you on the podcast. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're in Spain. You live in Spain these days.
I do, yes.
Lovely. And you run Sober Bliss. And what I love about what you do, with a little bit I've seen about it, is you're really focused on helping mums navigate the whole kind of sobriety journey. So just tell us a bit about your story first. Just back up and tell us what happened for you.
Yeah, well, I'm a mum myself, which is why I kind of focused in on this area. And I kind of started drinking a lot.
How old are your children first?
My children are, I've got an, he's just turned 10, I had to think about that, a 10-year-old and a soon-to-be 18-year-old.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, a bit of a difference.
Yeah. So yeah. Carry on, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we live in Spain. Where we used to live was quite kind of isolated, and I suppose that my drinking kind of got a bit out of hand after my second son was born. He was maybe about, I don't know, 1 or 2, and he wasn't at school yet, and I kind of felt maybe bored, lonely. It was stressful. One was at school, so I was at home all day with a little one, and then the other one would come back and kind of, because of the age difference, maybe all hell would break loose type thing. I used it to cope, as most mums do, to be honest.
Well, let's just talk about that, because you know, you're absolutely right. It's drinking is such a thing around among mums. I think looking back, I think it's when my drinking escalated as well. When I had a couple of kids close in age, and if I remember back, I think for me it was that feeling of wanting to feel grown up after having been with the kids for so many hours and with my head in that space, which any mum will know is utterly and completely exhausting on every level. When if there was somebody else that could take the, you know, them just for a while, my feeling was I desperately need to feel grown up again, and I need me time, and that equated to as wine, you know, as alcohol. Why do you think this is? Why is this so prevalent in our mummy culture?
I think because it's a quick fix. You know, you can have a glass of wine or beer in my case, and then all of a sudden you kind of, you numb out, don't you? You
takes
kind
of the edge off it.
What's going on? Yeah. And also, everybody else is doing it. All the other mums that I know are doing it. It's everywhere. It's in social media, as you know. Gifts for Mother's Day are not slippers and chocolate like they used to be. It's fancy pink gin or all the cards, you know, it's promoted a lot as that's what us mums need in order to cope with our kids. And when you're in that situation, and sometimes, you know, you don't know what else to do, there's nowhere else to turn, so you do drink. In that moment, it helps, as you say, take the edge off, and you kind of remember that, don't you? So the next time, then... Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You know, none of this is helped by the messages that are around. Yeah. I mean, it never used to be like this years ago, did it? I mean, certainly when my mum was had me, that wouldn't have been the case. You know, women, you know, back then typically didn't drink, or certainly not I mean, I don't think they probably wouldn't have drunk at home, would they, very much? So this is a relatively new phenomenon. And of course, the alcohol industry must love the way they've managed to turn, you know, women into big drinkers and mums into drinkers. And you're right. It's this kind of glue that sticks mums together. Because one of the other things that I found was that, you know, if I took my child around for a play date or whatever, it's kind of how you kind of suss out whether another mum is on the same wavelength, you know, whether you come in for wine. And I've heard people talk about, you know, sports events. I mean, my kids were never into sports, but I've heard people talk about sports events and say that the thing that glued the parents together was the drinking at the sports events. I mean, exhausting.
Like bonding.
like a form of bonding. God, I remember those days, my goodness. So what kind of, you know, in the work that you've been doing with mums, what kind of, you know, issues and problems have you come up against then? I mean, when does it kind of often present itself as a problem, you know, for women, do you think? Is there a point at which a lot of them actually do start to realize, hold on, this isn't okay?
Just what you said, some people come to that point and realize that, you know, they can't carry on. Sometimes something bad happens that kind of shocks them into the realization that they've got to stop. Or like me, you just get fed up of feeling just rotten all the time. You know, you've got no energy, you can't be with your kids how you want to be with your kids. Life is chaotic. That was my case. It was very chaotic. There was no organization, no structure to the day. They just realized that they could be a better mum if they had a break from alcohol, definitely. Mm. Yeah. It just kind of gets too much to cope with.
Yeah, I remember reading in Claire Pooley's book, The Sober Diaries. You know, she outlines it beautifully, the fact that she, you know, was using the alcohol effectively to sort of relax her and numb her out. But in fact, the reality was she wasn't really present for her kids. Yeah. And, you know, she describes the sort of the feeling of, which really resonated with me, the kind of the reading the bedtime story, but skipping a few lines or skipping a few pages so you can get to your wine. And and I remember back that was absolutely me, you know, that feeling of, well, let me get through this quickly so that I can get to, you know, what I really want to do. Which of course was what I really didn't want to do, but I didn't know any other way. It's so interesting, isn't it? And then, of course, I'm guessing that, you know, in some cases, as you say, something happens or the kids get older, and then you get into this whole thing of what example are you setting for your kids as well? You know, that's something that I now think back to is what example did I set back then? What did they see in me? I'm guessing you come across that as well.
Yeah, we do, because kids who are older, like I've got an almost 18-year-old, and in the past I used to say to him when he went out, even when he was, you know, 14, 15, don't drink. And he'd be like, yeah, I won't. But I was thinking, you know, who am I to tell him not to drink? Yeah. If I'm sitting here with my glass of wine saying, don't drink, he's probably thinking, well, you are, so, you know, what's the difference? It's not a good example at all. We're teaching our kids that in order to cope with life, then you need alcohol. In order to have fun, you need alcohol.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. And I think it's only when you finally kind of break free from it that you can see that there are better ways to do
absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely. So how did you do it then? What was the kind of the catalyst for you that you knew it was time, and what process did you use to quit? Mm.
Well, for a while, I'd been waking up just feeling awful, no energy, grumpy, hungover. And then one day we started drinking quite early, wine as well. And I'm a rubbish wine drinker. I couldn't drink wine at all, but that's all we had. And the arguments just started. They got bad, worse than ever.
This is you and your partner, is it?
Husband, yeah. We drank together. So it got really bad this day, this argument, and I just had enough. So I got in the car with my laptop and my passport and my youngest son with an intention to drive somewhere. Where? I don't know. And he started crying because he didn't know what was going on. Thankfully, I didn't drive anywhere. I turned off the car and came back in, and I just felt so awful. You know, what could have happened? What was I doing? Because I was so drunk, I couldn't see, let alone drive. But I didn't stop straight away, such as, you know, the pain that I felt, the only way I could cope with it was to drink again. But it wasn't long after my husband and I had a long chat and we thought, you know, this has got to stop. So that was it. We didn't buy any alcohol that next day after we had our chat, where we normally would have. And then that was it. We just stopped and we haven't bought any since. And that was 18 months ago and we haven't had a drink since either. Wow.
And so, how tough did you find it at the beginning? You must have had the, you know, the cravings come in, and how did you deal with all of that?
Yeah, at first life was a bit boring, if you like, because we didn't do anything. I think we sat on the sofa and watched a rubbish TV series in Danish, actually, with subtitles. I don't know why. And we drank tea and coffee and ate chocolate, and that's how we got through. For me personally, I used to drink from about 2, 3 o'clock after the school run, and that was a difficult time. So in that moment, I had to do something else. So I would make sure I had lunch, I would have a nap, I would go for a walk, anything really to get out of that 20-minute window. But then after that, it was okay. If I didn't drink then I didn't drink the rest of the evening.
And when did it start to get easier? Yeah, when did it start to get easier for you then? When did it become more of a, you know, a sort of a lifestyle choice rather than just a kind of a white knuckling it kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty quickly, actually. I would say within a couple of months, I got over the cravings. I might have had the odd pang from time to time, but nothing like it was. You just kind of settle into a new routine. You know, you start doing different things, switching things up. And also, I started enjoying waking up in the morning and feeling normal. I was like, wow, this is what normal feels like. And that kind of spurred me on.
And how do you think it changed you as a mum?
Yeah, I'm a lot calmer now than I used to be. I'm a lot more consistent. So if I say to my youngest, no iPad after 6 o'clock, then it's no iPad after 6 o'clock, you know, because he used to kind of wiggle in and think, oh, you know, she won't mind or she won't notice, which often wouldn't be the case. So rules and routines and things are a lot more regulated now. And that might sound a bit boring, but it's really nice to, you know, put them to bed when they're supposed to be in bed, get up.
Yeah, exactly. Fresh. I remember saying on the podcast before, one of the greatest joys for me was when I hadn't been sober long, and then my eldest called me and needed a lift back from somewhere really late at night, and I was crying with joy that I could actually do it. You know, first time ever that I would have been able to have done that. You know? I'm not quite as joyful now to be a taxi driver at all times.
No.
You know, at the time I was delighted. But on that note then, for people, you know, with teenagers, how do we navigate that as people who, you know, used to be drinkers and possibly big drinkers? How do we navigate teenagers? Because, you know, clearly it's not as simple as just saying, right, you know, I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt, don't you ever try it, whatever you do. It's really difficult one to navigate, isn't it? This of course we can lead by example, how are you with your oldest, and what do you recommend to other mums?
Just be honest, I suppose, and know what's going on with them, be there to listen to them. We're quite open about, you know, how it used to be, and you can tell the difference now. So leading by example. But also, I don't know. I do tell him not to drink, but at the same time, I can't force him not to drink. Mm. He has to make his own mistakes, unfortunately. Mm. That's the only way, you know, that you learn and you get experience. But if anything, thankfully, nothing bad has happened, or he hasn't come home kind of rip-roaring drunk or anything. But just be there and just talk and be open and present.
I mean, certainly in the UK, you know, we have a thing at the moment where, you know, it's in the news all the time that younger people are drinking less. You know, they're not quite the same as our generation and caning it the whole time. It's the baby boomers that are the ones having drinking too much. But having said that, you know, of course, there is still plenty of drinking and binge drinking, and then you can mix that up with drugs that are going down, and it all feels just so very scary, actually. But you know, the bottom line is whatever we have to face with our kids, we're going to be stronger when we face it sober, right? So what are some of the tips that you give to mums then who come to you, you know, find you and the work that you do and ask for your help?
The main tip I give them is to be kind to yourself and look after yourself, because that's what I find a lot of mums, me included, we don't do enough of. And it's difficult when you're running around after kids all day and combining work and home life. It's far easier in some respects to reach for a glass of wine if you're feeling stressed and hassled. So that's the main thing, is to continuously check in with yourself. Find out what it is that you really need. So if you need to have a rest, then sit down. If you feel like you're kind of feeling a bit frazzled or whatever, then you might be hungry. And sometimes, you know, me especially, I didn't eat properly because I was just found it easier to drink. So parent yourself, you know, do what you do for your kids, for yourself, but really do it and look after yourself. That's the big thing that we do.
Yeah, great. And what's the kind of, where you live, what's the kind of culture, if you like? Because, I mean, obviously here in the UK, we, you know, the drinking culture is absolutely everywhere. But on the other hand, we have got some really good alcohol-free drinks available, and there's a few alcohol-free bars popping up. Is it the same in Spain?
Well, I live in a really tiny village. We haven't got the range or, you know, that you would have in a big city in England, for example. But there's a lot of bars in the village. I think there's about 6 bars for 1,000 people. And the culture here in Spain is that they don't really binge drink, but they will drink regularly throughout the day. So if a workman, for example, has a break at 10:30 in the morning, then he'll have a beer with his sandwich.
Wow.
Just before lunch at 2, it's really popular to go out for tapas and beer. And then again in the evening before dinner, it's, you know, people go out and have a drink, but they just have a drink, one drink, and that's it. But at the same time, it's not unusual to order an alcohol-free beer or a non-alcoholic drink. It's not thought of as weird, like in the UK, I've been told that people feel weird if they order a non-alcoholic drink.
Well, it's starting to change, but yes, there are some places like that. Absolutely, we call it sober shaming.
Yeah,
you know, you're out with colleagues or friends, and you know, if you used to drink, and then you say, actually, I'd like a sparkling water or alcohol-free beer, and then you know, they turn to you and say, oh dear, you know, have you got a problem? you know, but it's changing. I'm gonna, you know, gonna stay positive. It is changing. So for you, moderation wasn't an option. You decided you wanted to quit.
Completely. Yeah. I suppose, like many people, I knew that, you know, once I started, then I wouldn't be able to stop. So I thought, you know, what's the point of trying to moderate? I think I'd done it before, or tried it before, but it was a lot of hard work, much harder than stopping completely.
Yeah, absolutely. So Gail, tell us your website then and where people can find you.
Yeah, it's soberbliss.com, and there's a blog on there which I update regularly with lots of, you know, hints and tips and my story. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent. Gail, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
So thank you, Gail, from Sober Bliss. I must give you the hot news that Sober Club is opening up on Friday the 15th. We're opening up for new members. We, as you know, those of you who haven't heard me talk much about it, we opened just very briefly to get some kind of founder members in and while we found our feet. And now we're opening up again on Friday the 15th. To new members, we are going to have a special offer period where if you join the Sober Club before, I think we're saying, I don't know, within a couple of weeks, we have a couple of nice special gifts for you. So you'll get a hypnosis audio download, De-Stress Your Life, courtesy of Ailsa Frank, hypnotherapist. That's a fantastic audio download for whatever stage you're at, just to really help you feel calm and de-stressed. That's worth £9.99. So you get that for free if you join the club. And you also will get, if you join before 27th of November, I think we've said, you'll also get an exclusive audio from me on how I personally stay motivated. This is not something that I've released as an audio, as a podcast. This is exclusive for people who sign up in that period of time. One of the first things that we're going to be doing when our new members join us is hosting a mindset and meditation challenge. And I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be really cool. I've been gathering some fantastic content. So this is going to be perfect for you if you're kind of thinking, I need to introduce something into my life, but just sitting cross-legged for 20 minutes morning and evening, it isn't working for me. So what else can I do, or what can I add in? So we're going to have lots of simple suggestions and resources that you can try, tips and tools and tricks and techniques and resources that are going to work for you, including some audios that have been pre-recorded exclusively for you. Lots of suggestions. There'll be something there for everyone, whatever stage you're at. So we're looking forward to that. Obviously, there's masses of content in the Sober Club. The site is absolutely brimming with amazing content. You'll have to take your time if you join us to go through it, because you don't get overwhelmed. But the you know, it really is a great hub of resources for you. We have a 90-day online course called Get the Buzz Without the Booze that you can work through. And if you are already sober, the Sober Club is still for you. It doesn't matter if you've been sober for months or years. The point is, from wherever you are, you can upscale, you can level up and look at the what's next for you. So Get the Buzz Without the Booze, the online course, actually works for you if you want to change another behavioural habit. So I've had people go through that course or start that course with sugar in mind. Just replace, you know, the word, when I use the word alcohol, replace that for sugar, because many of the same principles apply. So there's that 90-day online course included, and then a whole bunch of resources in our mindset bars. We've got some amazing hypnosis techniques. We've got some interviews. We've got a fitness and nutrition buzz with, again, some fantastic expert guidance and interviews. And of course, for most of my podcast guests, there you have an opportunity to watch the video version of the podcast. And in addition to that, we have some exclusive content from most of our guests. So there's lots of great reasons to join us. I really hope you will. Make sure you're on the waiting list, and then you'll get the email through as soon as we open up. So just go to thesoberclub.com. Make sure you're on that waiting list. It'd be great to welcome some more members. Our Facebook group is so unbelievably supportive. In fact, back on what I was talking about earlier with this whole thing about parenting, before I introduce you to Gail, somebody on our Facebook group was saying how different it feels having ditched the booze. And she was saying that although, you know, the wine witch still appears at a certain time in the evening, and it's still tough, you know, in those early weeks, it makes it all worth it when you kind of tuck your child into bed and you know, and they say, oh, I'm so glad you don't smell of wine anymore. And you think, wow, what a thing to be absolutely fully present for your kids. And of course, it's one of the things I regret the most, actually. I know they say don't have any regrets, but I wish I could turn the clock back just for that, you know, for those early years with my kids when I so wish I could have been fully present. And but, you know, never say never. It's never too late. And at least now I'm present to do the late night taxi trips. Ooh, just trying to think about the benefit of that one for me. but yeah, so the Facebook group is really rocking. It's though I say so myself, it is. I'm just holding the space for this. It's a really amazing community to be part of. So if you're not already signed up, go to thesoberclub.com and make sure you get on that waiting list. You can, of course, listen to all our podcasts there as well. And there's some blogs and various bits and pieces. And you can also find the link to the Champneys retreat, which I've already mentioned, January the 11th and the 12th. Really look forward to seeing some of you there. It's going to be a great event and something very new for a spa like Champneys to be doing. So it's quite exciting. Of course, the other bit of really hot news is that I'm going to be interviewing Dale Pinnock, the medicinal chef, on the podcast. He's got some fantastic tips about just great nutrition and healing everything after you've been drinking, you know, that kind of detox period, what you can do to make it easier for yourself and affordable. Of course, Dale is one of the experts on Eat, Shop, Save on the telly, so he knows all about good food, but also making it affordable. He's also the author of several books on great nutrition. So Dale is going to be one of my guests. Africa Brooke, a big time Instagram influencer, is going to be on the podcast. And Annie Grace, really excited to have Annie Grace on the show. Of course, she's changed so many lives. Absolutely amazing. And Annie's doing some exclusive content for Sober Club members as well. So really looking forward to that. So stay with us. As always, if you would like to give us any feedback, if you'd like to share your story, if you would like to put a nice review for us on Apple Podcasts, that would be fantastic. You know where I am, at Genuinely Grace on Instagram or at Genuinely Grace Loves on Facebook. And it would be lovely to hear from you. And if you are doing this sober thing, I know I've said it so many times, but, you know, Claire Pooley always says it to me as well as to lots of other people. So I think it's OK to say it again. And it is, give yourself a really big hug. This is such a big thing you're doing. Because I'm now doing this work with the Sober Club, I'm much more involved in people at lots of different stages. And I'm really so well aware that there are so many stages to go through. And I've been reminded again this week that, you know, you get that euphoria at the beginning when you've ditched the booze. You know, sometimes it's a few days in, a few weeks in, you get the pink cloud, it's sometimes called, isn't it? It's that absolute euphoria. But usually after that, you probably get a dip. And it's perfectly normal and understandable. And it's just real life kicking in. But you will get through it out to the other side. And it's really good for me to just remember back to how unbelievably crap and chaotic I felt for a while. And partly that was because I didn't have any support. I didn't have any support because I kept it to myself. How daft of me, I know. But you know, I know differently now. And that's why I can share this with you. So if you are doing this, do not keep it to yourself. There are so many people. There's so much support out there. If you want, you know, if you really feel that you need serious medical help, then do see your GP. Do look at some of the resources available. If you want medical assistance, look at some of the stuff that Alcohol Change UK offer in the UK and wherever you are in the world, seek the help that you need. But if it's just connection that you're after, then there are many, many groups. There's so much out there for you. Please reach out and don't feel as though you are on your own. But do remember the self-care bit because it's so critically important. I didn't do it. It ended up being harder for me because of it. So do give yourself that big hug, and I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. Please go to thesoberclub.com, listen to more podcasts, read our blogs, enter our competitions, grab yourself a free PDF, Self-Care in Sobriety, and check out our online community,